Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's podcast. And I am so excited to talk to you about a subject that we've all thought about, we've all been through, or maybe, heck, you're in the midst of thinking about, how do I break up with somebody? Like, what's the kindest, most humane way? What do I do? So I have with me today, Natalia Juarez. Natalia, welcome to the Smart Dating Podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
And Natalia is a seasoned relationship coach that lives in Toronto, Canada, and she specializes in heartbreak. So thank you so much for being here with us today. Tell us, how did you become somebody who specializes in heartbreak?
Well, I used to be a teacher, and in my 20s, I went through two major heartbreaks. The first one took me years to get over. We were together on and off over 7 years. And then in my late 20s, I got engaged and I was with him for close to 3 years. And just months before my 30th birthday, I ended up calling it off and breaking up with him, even though that one definitely broke my heart, probably more than his. And I think all of that happening all at once, I was the one to leave. So I felt like I was completely rebuilding my life, turning 30. And I did what most people think to do. And I found a good therapist. I started reading books and I took some time to really do it well because I saw myself as a common denominator. And as I began to discover things, because I'm just so passionate about education, I couldn't stop telling people about it and wanting to help people through the process. And then years later, I decided to make a transition into coaching.
That's amazing. And so now you work with people through the tunnel of fire, as I call it.
Yes. And I have such a heart for people going through some of the hardest parts of relationships, which is all of the heartache. And I sometimes call it the shadow side of love. I'm very comfortable just being with people through some of their darkest moments.
I love that. Well, let's talk about pre-breakup. Okay. And today, guys, to distinguish, we're not necessarily talking about divorce because I think to some extent there's financial, legal, and other things that are to be considered. So what we're talking about today is somebody that you are not legally married to. Is that right?
Yes. Some aspects may apply, but yes, there's much more complexity in those situations. So we can focus. I would say this would apply, yes, to anyone who's not married or maybe been with someone for up to maybe in and around 8 to 10 years.
Okay, got it. And what do you find when people come to you? Do they want to know, should I break up? And do they paint their scenarios to you? And like, kind of like, hey, Natalia, do I stay or do I go? Like, what happens pre-breakup? And how do we make that decision? And what are the main reasons people want to break up? So I know I just asked you five questions all at once. So I'll stop now.
Yes. And this is why I love this work. There is so much richness to it and complexity. And when I first got into this work, as you know, I call myself the breakup coach because that's what I'm most passionate about, is helping people to move on. However, over the last 11 years, what I have found is that people also need support in deciding whether or not to break up. And if they have decided, how to go about it.
Yes.
And it really surprised me years ago. I would say about 3 years in, I had a young man contact me who wanted to break up with his girlfriend of about, I think they'd been together for, let's say, 3 to 5 years. They lived together, their families knew each other, and he was fully invested in this relationship. And he asked me if I could help him through to do it well. And because he said otherwise, what he had been considering, he said, I know we're going to have a fight and she's going to maybe say something and say, well, maybe we should break up. And he said, I think I'll just take her up on it. if she says that. And I just knew if he were to do that, she would replay that argument over and over again, thinking that that was the main reason for the breakup when in reality it wasn't.
You were just manufacturing a situation.
Yes. Yes. And so, and now that I work with so many people who are going through heartbreak, I know that how endings matter and that if you can do it in the healthiest, most loving, respectful way, the recovery is a lot less complicated.
And with this guy, why did he want to break up with his girlfriend?
His feelings were not as strong for her as they once were. And they were approaching that point after about 3 years where he was having to decide, are we doing this for the long haul? And because he was just at that point where he was going to have to decide, are we getting engaged and getting married and taking this to the next level? And he knew in his heart that that wasn't the right decision.
And he knew that this was not the right person for him.
He knew, yes. But she still very much felt that he was, which is often the case.
Wow, that's hard. And what do you see as the main reasons that people come to you? Like, okay, like why are people coming to you to help them break up? Are they ambiguous about something or tell us about that?
That is a large percentage of the people who seek me out is, I'm like, it's what I now call the discernment process. That's how I tend to think of it, of helping people to really to decipher the main reason. There may be a number of different reasons, but what is the core reason that you could present to your partner and that you'll lean on? And in some cases, there is just that connection isn't as strong. In some cases, the people feel like we're just not communicating well, we're not as compatible. Or sometimes it's circumstantial and sometimes it's a gut feeling.
Yeah. Have you ever said to someone, I don't think you should break up. I think this is a you problem.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and not to go off on a tangent, but especially with people perhaps who have an anxious or an avoidant attachment style.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're coming up with reasons.
100%.
And if they don't know about attachment theory, that they tend to fixate on problems with the relationship or the other person to create that emotional distance for safety, often that's the reason that a lot of their relationships end. So, yes.
Okay, got it. So you're having the tough conversations. Like, you know what? You can break up, but you're going to do this again and again and again.
Exactly. And okay. Perhaps by that point, they're so checked out that maybe they're going to have to start with someone else.
Right. And then it's lather, rinse, repeat all over again until they realize, ooh, I feel unsafe because this relationship could actually get to engagement or marriage or living together or even just giving it a title. And then they begin to self-sabotage and find reasons to say, I don't like the way you eat your peas. Like, do you remember Seinfeld? Like, they could pick anybody apart, right? And because of essentially, I think they were all a bunch of avoidants that were friends together and could just discard everybody on the most minor reasons, right?
And that's why it is so fascinating. That's why I love working with people over the age of, I would say, around 30, because then we begin to really see those patterns. If there are trends where it's like you always seem to find an issue with the other person or the relationship. And I was going to say something else about another common trend that I see is people will come to me because they've been feeling like they want to break up. But then, and a really helpful tip would be, let's identify the problems and have you attempt to work on them for about 3 months, one season to see whether or not things are trending in a better direction. And then if they haven't, and you still feel this way, then you'll be so much more supported within yourself to initiate the breakup, especially if there was a lot of investment in this relationship.
Right. So you're saying, talk about it, give it 3 months. And do you have the person put the other person on notice? Like, listen, I'm kind of at my wit's end, but I want to give this another 90 days. But these are the things that I would like. Or do you have them more in their own minds give it 3 months? Or is it clearly communicated to the other?
Is it communicated in a delicate way?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just to let the person know, I'm concerned about these things. I need to talk to you about something. And to address these issues, here are the areas I'd like to work on, and to let the person in, because for the person who potentially will be broken up with, and I'm sure you've seen this too, that when they have a sense, I kind of knew, it's the people who are completely blindsided who take the breakups often the hardest. So this lets the other person in, gets them to eliminate that pain point that they have when they feel like, I never got a chance to attempt to course correct this issue.
Yeah, right. So
this is all in that first step, pre-breakup.
Okay, got it. And do you find that a lot of relationships can get back on track in that 90 days? Or do you find the majority of them end up going through your breakup process?
That's a great question. I have found that a lot of couples can get back on track, but it often depends on the core reasons for that they were struggling with. If it was a communication issue and both partners are on board, I mean, that's a skill.
Yeah, absolutely.
If the core issue is a deep-seated incompatibility, then probably not. Then in those cases, I might not encourage someone to invest another 90 days.
Yeah. And if there's abuse of any sort, then you'll tell them like, no, you need to get yourself to a safe place and don't break up right now. Just get out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I know you probably see things that defy your imagination, as do I, through the dating and the relationship process. So, and you say the first step in the breakup is be sure that you're sure. So identify your issues and gently put your partner on notice.
Let them in.
Yeah. Let them in.
That some things are on your mind, that these things have been bothering you, but also that I really want to work on some of these issues. I'd like us to read this book. I'd like us to have weekly check-ins, things like that.
Okay. Got it. And now let's say that this person now has given it a skipper's try for, 2-3 months. And they're like, yeah, no, we're going to Splitsville. What do we do now? And they're scared.
Okay.
And they come to you to do it in the nicest way possible.
Yes. All right. So in that pre-breakup, there is really getting very, very clear on your reasons. And also knowing which of those reasons, I would say like top 1 to 3 that you actually need to present to your partner. And then you need to emotionally and mentally prepare to have this conversation and to make sure that you can reinforce and be firm about this breakup. And then you need to plan it. And the where and when and how also matter. And you're going to have to be the one to initiate it. From a common time is if people have, I would say like a regular work schedule, can be Friday early evening is often a great time.
Okay.
This would be because it would be early enough in the evening that if they needed to get support, they could afterwards, and they could have the weekend to process
recover.
The pain, the shock of it all. And if they had to take a personal day on the Monday, they possibly could.
Kind of like how one has to fire people at work, the humane thing. It's like, do it on Friday at the end of the day so the person can go home and have a break.
Yes. You're kind of building that in. And then, so that's when, and there often isn't a great time, but I would say definitely not before any major event.
Yeah.
But it's always going to be someone's birthday or some sort of event, but as long as it's not a major life event.
Yeah, absolutely. And with breakups, okay, there's online dating and there's texting, there's calling, there's video, there's in person. Do you have a rule of thumb? Like, when is it okay to do it via written communication or a call or in person? Like, what are your thoughts around that?
It would face to face, of course, is most often preferred. If it was a long-term relationship, if you were exclusive, if you were boyfriend, girlfriend, obviously living together. But sometimes if you're dating or even those early stages of dating, it might be not unnecessary.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah. It's okay. You know, if it's been a couple of dates and you're not feeling it, we counsel our clients at Smart Dating Academy, just send a nice text. You know, we call it the goodbye sandwich, and we have a formula that we help our clients to write specifically, and they love these scripts that we help them with. So it's really, because then it just makes it like, okay, that's the nice, humane way to do it. And yes, then sometimes, so if it's in those early stages, a text is okay. But then if you've been on several dates, a phone call is the way to go.
Yes. Although I have been hearing from people that sometimes that can be hard because it can be unusual if people don't ever talk on the phone to ask someone to have a phone call.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
And unless it's easy enough for you to see this person face to face, then a phone call would be okay. And it's okay if it kind of rings some alarm bells for the other person when you say, hey, give me a call when you have a bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
It is, because it is what it is. But yes, so few dates, a text is fine. If you've been dating for a few months, a phone call would be fine. But if it is a significant relationship, no matter the length, then perhaps face to face. But definitely long-term relationships would require that.
I would say, listener, if you're in doubt, it's always probably better to pick up the phone and call and do it in person than to send a text. If you feel like you're on the line of, well, it's been kind of a lot of dates, don't take the easy way out, which is a text, because that person will always remember that, right? Mm-hmm. Man up or woman up, and pick up the phone and talk to the person live. Don't leave it in their voicemail.
No.
And again, we're not talking about dangerous or abusive situations right mm-hmm. here. We're talking about garden variety breakups with yes. two people that just aren't the right lid in the right pot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now let's talk about the conversation, the breakup conversation. What do we say? How do we do it?
All right. I mean, in preparation for this conversation, I mean, I just have pages and pages of notes.
I love it.
I have an extensive blog that people can refer to, but delivery really does matter. And there isn't an easy way often to introduce this conversation. So something that I'd wanted to do for a really long time that I actually ended up doing specifically for your listeners is I worked on some breakup scripts.
Great.
Yes. So people will be able to download those. And it really does depend on what type of a breakup this is. But it's classic things like, I need to talk to you about something important. I've been doing a lot of thinking lately. There's no easy way to say this. I know this may be hard to hear. After much consideration, I've come to the difficult decision that we need to break up for these reasons.
Mm.
Okay. And yes, so I introducing it, of course, the person will be disappointed and have their own reaction and feelings to what you're saying, but you need to, the person initiating will take a leadership position because you're the one who's had a chance to prepare, kind of guide this conversation, and to own the breakup.
Yeah, 100%. And you say delivery matters. It's balancing honesty with sensitivity, right? And yes. do you recommend that people write out their speech and practice, or how do you ensure good delivery?
Being clear on what it is you want to share. It could be a script. It could be sometimes people will need to role play it or just hear themselves say it out loud.
Yeah.
Because even when you get to practice, even with yourself or with someone that you're comfortable with, you're already processing the emotions of what it is you're saying in order to be able to be present in that conversation in a way that you really would like to be so that you're not caught up in your own emotions.
Mm.
Yes.
True that. True that. And now, let's say you break up with somebody and they're crying and they're, you know, obviously very distraught and begging, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You know, what strategies do you think one can employ to be compassionate and yet maintain your firmness and your boundaries?
Yes. And this goes back to the mental and emotional preparation before. You probably have somewhat of a sense of how your partner may react to this news, especially depending on how much they kind of had a sense that these issues were such a big problem. So the person being broken up with will be emotional. They may have a number of questions, and answering those questions to the best of your ability will be important, but also reinforcing that reason. And it might feel like I've already said this, but the person on the receiving end may have to hear this a number of times, and you're just continuing to redirect back to these reasons. Now, of those reasons, some things may be workable, some things may not be, but if you've already decided in your heart that you just don't, you could break up with someone, let's say it was, you were arguing a lot, and the person you're breaking up with says, well, we can work on that. We can go to counseling, and they're bargaining. But if you've decided in your heart, you just don't have it in you to
you're
work
done.
On that.
You're done.
Because yes, you are done.
You're done.
Then you may have to reinforce it with other reasons that your connection's not necessarily there, that you've been feeling like this for a long time.
Right. It's like, I'm so sorry. It's like, this is just how I feel.
Yes.
Right. And just going back, because when you drop a bomb like this on somebody, they're going to go into fight or flight. Yes. And they may not hear you because they're flooded with cortisol.
Yes.
They're flooded with adrenaline. Right. And so having those messages that you can continue to broken record and come back to and redirect to is really what you want to do. And you might want to practice. I am that person that when I've had to leave difficult voicemails or, you know, even just important voicemails or thinking I might not get this person on the phone, if I, you know, I will write it out word for word, and I will practice and I will practice again and practice. And then by the time, you know, if I have to go into the voicemail, then I'll say it in a way that I feel like is my best self. Right?
Right.
But it really, you have to know yourself mm-hmm. and do what's going to make you most comfortable in this process. Now, do you recommend that people do this in a home? Do you, like, let's say, yeah, they do it at home. They don't do it over a meal in a restaurant that you respect this person. People don't know sometimes, right? And especially if the person is unsuspecting, right? You don't do it over a meal in a restaurant at someone's house, like, right? You have to have this.
Because we've all had that happen.
Yes.
You're stuck at finishing a meal with someone. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So plan to be at the person's house. Again, now we're not talking about initial several dates. This is post-exclusivity. You've been in a relationship, right? You have been together for more than 3 to 4 months, right? Mm-hmm. Up to, goodness knows, years, decades at this point, but respect the person. And then give yourself, for me, I would maybe add a rule for myself. I don't know if you agree with this, but give yourself a time frame. Like, I'm not going to sit there for 8 hours. Right? It's like, give yourself, the message is delivered, you hug it out, and then you leave.
Yes.
Get yourself out of the space.
Exactly.
And right? Like I'm giving myself an hour and then I'm out.
And that's okay. And that's why having that person be in their home or somewhere where they can be comfortable and you are able to extract yourself.
Yes.
Is perfect preparation. And it's okay to, yes, to have that time frame and to leave. And the person may have other questions. So you may want to say, I need to go now. We can touch base later on if you have other questions, but I need to go.
Yeah, I need
and
to
go. That mental rehearsal, it will help you in those moments to not be flooded. And also in that firmness, to also not feel like you need to soften the blow. If this person is taking it really poorly, that you need to say these platitudes of, well, maybe we can be friends, or anything like that can actually really complicate someone's healing because it can give them false hope.
Right. 100%. And I would, as a, you know, people pleaser back in the day, I would definitely, oh my God, we can still hang out and we can be friends. And you don't know that person is flooded with cortisol right now. Mm-hmm. What you're saying to be nice, it could be received in a way, like you said, that's not healthy for that person because they're hearing what they want to hear at that point. Yes. Yeah. So stick to your message, practice. Have a plan, know where you're going to do this, know what you're going to say, know, you know, you can probably anticipate the retorts that this person is going to have because this has been your romantic partner for a long time. So, you know, you know what their rebuttals will be, and you know how to just keep coming back to the center, what matters. Okay. So now let's say you've premeditated it, you've done it, it went as well as it could have, because breakups just suck. Mm-hmm. Period, right? Breakups just suck. Now, post breakup, you call it the aftermath of a breakup. What boundaries do you think we should set for ourselves and for the other person post breakup so that everybody can heal? How and what?
Because you're a few steps ahead of the other person. This may be a part of the breakup conversation, or it may come afterwards, but at some point it needs to be established that you're going to take some time off from communicating, and that, you know, no contact period, but that's designed and implemented to help you to heal. And then there may be logistics, the exchange of things. That should be the initiator's responsibility to make that happen. And if you're living together, there is so much more of a complexity, but you may also have to be the person to initiate that. And then there's dealing with social media. Yes, whether or not you're going to continue to follow one another. And there are ways to introduce perhaps disconnecting in order for you two to have time to space that time to heal.
Yeah, you can mute people. Okay, you don't have to even unfollow. You can mute them on most apps.
Yes, and if you want to unfollow them, you can. Social media makes it so hard for us to disconnect, to unfollow, because it feels so negative. But that's why it's like you're not unfriending, it's not like eternal sunshine of the spotless mind where you're trying to remove this person from your life. It's like, we need to disconnect. It doesn't make sense. We don't need to be following each other on social media for us to still be a part of one another's life. You have my number in case there's any reason you needed to get in touch or email.
Yeah.
And I think permission to disconnect.
And I think especially if you are maybe Gen Z or millennial, where social media and following and unfollowing, and it's things that people track so closely, whereas Gen X and older and doesn't care. It's like, I wouldn't even know if you unfriended me or unfollowed me, but I know the way my kids, they know who's unfollowed them on a daily basis because they have these apps that monitor. So instead, just be upfront about it. They're awful. Awful. I've told the story on this podcast before. My kids are like, oh, you can see who's unfollowed you. Here, I'm going to put this app on your phone. And do you think I looked at it every day? I did. And it started to bring me down. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why did that person unfollow me? Yeah. Did I say something? And then it's weird if you see that person. I was like, ignorance is bliss. I don't want to know. Go unfollow me, but I don't want to know. It's like, have a party and don't invite me, but then don't put it on social media for me to see.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so there's so much with social media, but I believe I like very clear guidelines that, especially if you are Gen Z or a millennial and social media has been a big part of your relationship, right? Then just say, I will unfollow you for now. So just know that. And it's not because I don't like you. It's not because I don't want to see you. I just need to process and to heal. And that someday so that'll different. Probably be different. But kids, I mean, I have teenagers that have gone through breakups. I'm like, unfollow. And they won't. They're like, no, that's so bad. That's going to escalate things. I'm like, oh my God, say in the beginning when you break up, let's unfollow each other. And it's not out of malice.
Exactly. Yes.
It's not out of malice, like at least 90 days, if not more. Just don't even put a time frame on it because you may never want to follow them again.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, that leads into the next question. Post breakup, you know, let's say you do want to be friends with this person, or let's say it's a colleague or it's a complicated situation, right? If you co-parent, it's a whole nother ball of wax. You can't really disconnect, unfortunately, totally. But is there a time frame that is okay to, you know, consider to reestablish contact in general?
To be friends?
Yeah.
Yes, it depends. If you two had a good connection, had a great connection, nothing, there were no betrayals, anything like that. It was respectful. You trusted one another, but perhaps you broke up because of an incompatibility. One of you wants to get married. One of you wants to have kids. One of you moves, something like that. Then it would make sense months later, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, a year later, to perhaps to touch base, and it to see if that friendship could be reestablished.
If you want. Yes.
If you want, and if the other person is receptive, and there could still be that genuine warmth between the two of you, but it just didn't work out. I mean, oh my gosh, in preparation for this call too, I was thinking about all the breakups I've had. And the good ones, the bad ones, the ones where I was delivering, the ones where I was on the receiving end. And there were a handful where I thought, wow, like those, we did those breakups well. Mm-hmm. And those relationships are, you know, there's still that friendliness, even though we may not be in one another's lives. And we're just supporting one another from a distance, maybe on social media.
Right. Okay. So you're still in contact on social media.
Yes, but these weren't necessarily like
significant.
The long ones. Yes.
Okay, got it. Got it. And so, I think it's really, you don't have to be friends with anybody, dear listener. You don't have to reestablish contact with somebody you've broken up with. It's just, if you want to, then that's great for you, but the other person will also have to want that as well. And you might want to be friends if you're the breaker upper, not the breakup E, and that person may not want you in their life, and that's okay. And you have to accept that.
Yes. It always fascinates me because sometimes I'll hear from some people who will tell me, wow, I'm friends with all of the exes that I've ever had. And there's been all this goodwill. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. And perhaps that's just been, that's your relationship history and breakup history. But for some people, yes, you can be friends. You don't have to be friends. Maybe they wanted to be friends, but you didn't want to be friends. And you don't always have to have one mode of how you do things.
No.
I will say my long-term relationships, we are not connected. And I'm sure we're both very okay with that. I wish them well from a distance, but we are in no way connected.
Right. Right. And that's good for both of you. And you're both fine with that.
Yes.
Right. I mean, at Smart Dating Academy, when we get people back out there, I'm like, just delete and block your exes, and especially ones that are narcissistic. They somehow know that you've healed.
Mm.
and you're getting back out there, and they show up like vultures.
Wow.
Ready. And I'm like, be prepared. Once you start our process, if there are those kinds of people in your past, don't be surprised that you hear from them. And they do. I'm like, delete and block. Get rid of them. We don't need any bad energy in a path of new good energy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, make a ritual of it because it's so empowering.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was so great. Are there any last things that you feel like someone should know about a breakup that I didn't ask you?
Like I said, there's so much to this topic. So nice. I'll make sure to update my blog. So anything that was missed is there for people because I think this area is really underserved. And even though some people can think it's very dark that I can help people to break up with people, but one major thing around the preparation for the breakup is to reframe this. Because so many times I will hear that people perhaps want to break up, but they just don't know how, and they don't want to hurt the other person. Meanwhile, breaking up with someone can be the most loving thing that you can do. To let them down gently with love and compassion, and to set them free so that they can meet someone who can love them in the way that they deserve.
Yeah.
So, right. Yes, I want to tell people who are struggling with this decision that is possible, that they need to reconnect with the bigger picture, and that often that they also do deserve grace and compassion for the process that they're going through, because so often the sympathy seems to lie with the person being broken up with. Meanwhile, making this decision and going through this process to break up with someone can be incredibly taxing. So you also need to take care of yourself. And that even though your recovery may be quicker, easier than the other person because you were a few steps ahead, it makes complete sense that post-breakup that you may need to implement some recovery practices as well.
I love that. I love that. Well, where can people check out your blog?
Okay. So for anything around how to break up with someone, you go to my website, lavistics.com/breakup-help. And my website has a lot of great resources. And the best place to connect with me would be on Instagram at the Breakup Coach.
Perfect. Thank you so much for this really good and helpful conversation. I'm sure that this helped many people, whether they're thinking about a breakup or knowing that so many of us are afraid to get into relationships sometimes because we're like, oh my God, how do I break up if it doesn't work out, right? And now you've given people kind of a formula in a way that comes down to the key word is preparation, right? And that gives you confidence. So thank you so much for your time, Smart Daters. If you're ready to get back out into the dating world, feels like a jungle out there right now. I'm hearing this from all of our clients. If you're ready for some psychotic optimism, for some positivity, to shake the dust out of the rug, to really say, I am ready for a new strategy this summer. I am ready to dip my toe back in there in the smartest, most planful, most conscious way possible on earth, then look into working with us for the fall and the winter. We are on a wait list right now, but we welcome any inquiry. So with that being said, I bid you farewell and until we meet again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.